This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get it rocking here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Hoffman Show. Youngest and Charles Adele Willingham sitting in for our guy Craig. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock. Phone lines open per usual, 301-230-0980. Glad to be back, man. It feels like I have been over on 106.7 The Fan for the past week and a half, 2 weeks. We didn't get a win bag Wednesday. We didn't get a throwdown Thursday. But I'm back in the saddle with you for the next 2 days as our pal Craig Hoffman handles some business items off the radio. He's expected to be at Indianapolis or in Indianapolis next week for the NFL scouting combine. So I'm excited to pick his brain about that. Lot to get to here in the show. We'll have a couple of guests stop by. Our pal Joe DeLeon, the lead draft analyst for A to Z Sports, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour as we begin to talk about the NFL draft. I say it all the time here is this offseason has come to a close so quickly. We're not used to this. I'm not used to it. Anthony's not used to it. Craig's not used to it. We're at this point right now where if you look at the offseason calendar, we've already skated through just about everything. Scouting combine is next week. We're 3 weeks away from the start of free agency. So there's a lot to touch on. We'll do it over the next 3 hours. Elsewhere around the Beltway, Terps in action tonight as they're at home taking on USC. And I have enjoyed listening to our morning guy, our guy Kevin Sheehan, talk about this year's Maryland Terrapins team coming into tonight, ranked 20th in the country. Derek Queen having the best freshman season for the Terps. I got to go back to like Joe Smith, like is the best freshman that I remember playing for this program. Derek Queen has been awesome. Defensively, we know Kevin Willard-led teams are going to compete their ass off on that end of the floor. It's been exciting to watch them. They got a big one tonight against USC. And then it is, what, next Wednesday, they're at home playing host to Michigan State. And we know they're also highly ranked. I believe they're top 12 right now in the country. So a lot of big-time basketball coming up at the Infinity Center, keeping it on the hardwood. The All-Star break actually wrapped up last night. We got to see Hornets and Lakers, and I know a lot of people were disappointed by that outcome. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But if it wraps up for the rest of the NBA, it also wraps up for the Washington Wizards. They're in action tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Bucks. They practiced last night for the first time post-All-Star break, and we got to hear from Chris Middleton. We got to hear from Marcus Smart. Programming note, by the way, we are going to be live on location tomorrow on the concourse at Cap One Arena as the Wizards take on the Milwaukee Bucks. So make sure you stop by and say hello if you're going to go out to the game tomorrow night. This is actually my first time doing an actual show broadcast from Cap One Arena, so I'm excited for that. But last night was a big night for the Wizards, man. I know many people may not think that way. I'm curious to see as we take your calls throughout the show what the vibe is amongst the fan base when it comes to the Washington Wizards, but I'm super excited. The way that they played leading up to the All-Star break, that 6-7 game stretch that we saw where the youngins were really taking another step forward. Your Keyshawn George, I thought, played really well. Bub Carrington was giving you his all on both ends of the floor. You got to see the return of Alex Saar the game before the All-Star break. So the big Eiffel getting it done as well, man. I'm curious to see the off-the-court impact that Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart are ultimately going to have when it comes to this Washington Wizards basketball team. I think when I look at the rebuild that they're currently in, Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, Mike Winger, they want to let the young guys play. I've been a big proponent of, hey, if you're going to go young and give these guys hella minutes, go get some established veterans, one of which is Chris Middleton, who they traded for as a part of that Kyle Kuzma deal. He spoke to the DC media last night and had this to say.
How do you embrace having that mentorship role with so many young guys on this team and knowing that that's going to be a position that you have here?
Yeah, it's not new for me. I mean, I've been a veteran in this league for a long time. I've been many different rosters in Milwaukee. So we've been through a lot of different things with a lot of different young players coming in, or, you know, new players just coming into a new system. So it's just speaking basketball. You know, that's what I try to do. If I see something, say it. If they see something, say it to me. But, you know, that's kind of how I see all of this right now, yeah.
Chris Middleton giving his thoughts, and I feel like there was some thought when the trade was initially made that maybe he'd be a buyout candidate, he'd want to go to a contender, but I'm all for it, man. They've been very vocal and adamant that, hey, Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart are under contract. They're going to be here playing games for this organization. So we'll see whether or not they actually lace them up tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Bucks. Ironically enough, already the return of Kyle Kuzma. So that's going to be interesting to see. He actually proposed to his fiance, his now fiance, Winnie Harlow, over the weekend. So I guess congratulations to Kuz. Are we allowed to be nice to Kyle Kuz? Are we allowed to have good vibes about Kuz based on the way he acted on his way out of here? I don't think so, which is why I was hesitant to congratulate him about, you know, getting engaged. But we'll see. We'll see. Wizards in action tomorrow night. We're live out at Cap One Arena for the show, so make sure you join us out there. Big NFL news yesterday that I heard Craig and Anthony hitting on. Salary cap going up, man. Commanders are expected to have now $82 million in cash to spend, the third most in the National Football League. But this is where the conversation changes and gets, if I'm being real, kind of difficult for me, right? You have the third most cap space in the National Football League, right? But you also have 29 unrestricted free agents. How many of those guys realistically are you going to bring back? That's the question to me, because I think we all see how much money they have and we start thinking about out-of-market free agents. For me, that's not where I'd be looking. You got to continue to build the foundation in the base of this roster, and I feel as if right now on February the 20th, there are a lot more questions than answers still on this roster. And I know that's crazy to say based off of a team that won 12 games last year, punched their ticket to the conference championship. To me, at least, there are still a lot of questions to be answered. Tough decisions are going to have to be made, right? What was my off-season slogan last year? We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Through hell or high water, I'm riding with that blue-eyed, handsome devil, Adam Peters. But now as we sit here in year two, off-season number two for this regime, I think we have to acknowledge as a fan base, I think we have to acknowledge as a media corps who covers this group on a routine basis, everything that you want to see happen isn't going to happen. Like I said, tough decisions are going to have to be made. Tough questions are going to have to be asked. But I do know one thing, and I'm willing to put my brand reputation on the line for it. I do know one thing. They will be aggressive. They will be aggressive. It may not be the way you expect them to be aggressive, but I fully anticipate Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the pro scouts, to be aggressive in trying to once again retool this roster on the fly. And that, to me, is where the offseason discussion starts for the Washington Commanders. I'm curious to know, right, how they view themselves internally. We don't get a lot of – we don't hear a lot of Adam Peters talking about the roster. He's never going to go out and bash this roster. But if he is being open, honest, and transparent about where this football team currently stands, then he understands there are some holes that got to be filled. And I think once we figure out, right, the way that they view themselves internally, from my vantage point, that is what ultimately is going to influence a lot of the Commanders' decision-making. That, to me, ultimately is what is going to influence their decision-making. Because there are a lot of decisions to make. Make no mistake about it. And like I said, the honeymoon phase of Adam Peters and this front office is over. It's now about doing everything that you can to continue to capitalize on the momentum and the success that you had a season ago. And as we continue to roll throughout the show, I want to get hot and heavy into how they go about retooling this roster. Because it isn't a quick fix. It isn't going to be easy. Like I said, there are tough decisions that are going to have to be made that we may not agree with, right? Anthony may not agree with the free agent signings. Chris Russell may not agree with the free agent signings. But guess what? We're at the mercy of the evaluator. 301-230-0980, the number, right here on the Hoffman Show. A lot more to get to as we take you up to 7 o'clock. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about Adam Peters in the front office. I want to ask this question on the other side of the break. How likely is it that Adam Peters and this Commanders front office can replicate last year's offseason success? I'll expound upon that more next, right here on the Team 980. Just getting rolling right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willigam. Sitting in for a guy, Craig Hoffman. I'll take you up to 7 o'clock. Terps basketball coming up later tonight. They're at home playing host to USC, looking to keep it rolling. They entered tonight ranked 20th in the nation. Kevin Willard's squad playing really good ball ahead of the conference tournament, and it should be a super exciting month of March. Can't wait to get to it all. We'll continue to discuss this Washington Commanders offseason coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Joe DeLeon, lead draft analyst for A to Z Sports, going to join us as we continue to look at, you know, some day two prospects that the Commanders could be in on. We'll also ask Joe, should the Commanders be trading back? So a lot to get to as we roll throughout the program. Right now, though, I want to continue to lay things out for you all because there is certain perspective that I feel like is missing when we have discussion about this Washington Commanders offseason. I continue to say it. You can argue with your mama. You can argue with somebody you love. To me, this is the most pivotal Commanders offseason of this rebuild. And I know what people are going to say. Well, wasn't last year the most pivotal offseason? No. No, it wasn't. I could have selected Jaden Daniels. Anthony could have selected Jaden Daniels. Some of you all out there could have selected Jaden Daniels. It was a slam dunk, no-brainer home run pick for Adam Peters in this front office. So when I look at last year's offseason relative to this year's offseason, I put a whole lot more importance on this one because now it's about building that foundation. Now it's about capitalizing off of what you were already able to accomplish a season ago. And the thing I want to look at here is how likely is it that Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouts in this front office, how likely is it that they're able to replicate last year's offseason success? What do I mean by that? You can make the argument that the offseason that the Commanders had last year, top to bottom, from free agency to the draft to the waiver wire, you can make an argument it was the best offseason from just a free agent signing standpoint in a long, long time. And I'm not just talking about here locally in Washington. I'm comparing that to other offseasons in the National Football League. The way that they were able to quickly retool this roster on the fly, I'll be real with you. And y'all can paint me negative. You can say whatever the hell you want. I have my serious doubts and reservations that they can replicate that Think about why this football team was playing in the conference championship this past season. Because they hit on the quarterback, and their key contributors were all signed via free agency. How likely is it that this group can replicate that? I don't know how likely it is. Now, I get it, right? We are supposed to have faith and trust and confidence in Adam Peters in this front office because of his track record in San Francisco. And I totally am on board with that. I understand that thought process wholeheartedly. But when you look at last year's offseason, they knocked the first-round pick out of the park with Jaden Daniels. You have an all-pro, potentially future Hall of Famer, top-five guy at that position. You landed that in year one in the first round. If I'm being real with you, right? If you look at the San Francisco 49ers draft track record in the first round under Adam Peters, not very good. A lot of his hits have come in rounds 4 through 7. So for him to be able to hit on Jaden Daniels, it's number two in the draft. I think it's easy for Adam Peters to be able to do that. Should have been. Not trying to take it away from him. Like, I understand you draft who is available to you. I'm not knocking him for selecting Jaden Daniels number two overall. You'd be crazy if you think I'm doing that. What I'm saying is it was an easy pick. When you look at the 49ers' first-round draft history over Adam Peters' time with San Francisco, it's been some hits. There have been some misses, right? Eric Armstead, 2015. Would you consider that a hit in round one? Maybe. DeForest Buckner, 2016. I think that was his first draft, actually. Would you consider that a hit or a home run? Not necessarily, right? DeForest Buckner, when you draft someone number 7 overall, by the way, let me give you some context to it. They're normally supposed to be viewed as a foundational building block piece. How long was DeForest in San Francisco? I think he got traded before his rookie contract was up. You look at 2017 in San Francisco when they go out and draft Solomon Thomas, number 3 overall. Solomon Thomas has turned into a career journeyman. So am I supposed to have confidence that Adam Peters and company are going to go out and hit on pick number 29? I have faith in that group because of the talent acquisition in rounds 4 through 7, where we've seen them hit on guys like George Kittle and DJ Jones and Dre Greenlaw, just to name a few, right? We've seen them have smashing success in the later rounds. But in the first round, it hadn't been perfect. Javon Kinlaw back in 2020, 14th overall. Javon Kinlaw, they may bring him here to Washington in this offseason. So that's a name to look at. But you get my bigger point here. You knocked the first round out of the park last year. Will you be able to do that this year? We talk about all the time team-building mechanisms, team-building strategies. The first order of business when it comes to trying to build a good team, you have to hit in round one. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. In the draft, though, last year, like I can make an argument that it was an okay draft. I believe it was NFL.com ranked them as the best draft class last year in the NFL. Okay. How much is Jaden Daniels weighted in that? But last year, in round two, you were able to draft a culture setter, a foundational piece in round two with Mikey Samra still. That's a win. Are you going to hit on your second-round pick this year? You need to. Brandon Coleman in round number 3, I think, is another one of those culture-setting foundational pieces. We don't know whether or not he's a long-term left tackle or a long-term guard, but we do know this. Moving forward, he is going to be a part of the core of your offensive line and the core of your football team. Make no mistake about it. You were able to get good production and a rotational edge piece that contributed in year one in round number 7 with Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Are you going to hit on your 7th-round pick this year? You've got 3 of them. You see what I'm saying here? So it's not a guarantee that last year's offseason success is replicated this year. I think it's going to be hard. And if we're being honest, right, if this group is going to take that projected next step forward, they have to have a similar offseason to last year, and I'm not so sure that that's possible. I mentioned the draft. You crushed free agency, and this is what I really am kind of honing in on and trying to project. You crushed free agency last year in an unprecedented way. When is the last time we have seen that many free agents come from outside of the organization and be able to contribute right away and be able to fit culturally? Doesn't happen that way. There's a reason that teams, the good teams at least, build through the draft. Washington last year, to the hell with the draft. The core of this roster will be built in free agency. And a lot of that had to do with the cupboard being left extremely bare by the previous regime. I get the context that needs to be added to that. I understand wholeheartedly. But let's just call it what it is. They crushed free agency last year in an unprecedented way. You found several core foundational pieces. That's, let me be real with you, that's not what free agency's for. Free agency is supposed to be to fill holes on your roster. For you to get foundational culture-setting pieces like Frankie Louvu signed to a multi-year deal, Tyler Biadasz signed to a multi-year deal, Dorrance Armstrong, Jeremy Chinn on the one-year deal, that's the other part of this equation. The amount of one-year deals that they were able to hit on, is it realistic to think that that's going to be your success rate each and every offseason? I don't think so. I don't know if that's a realistic thing. But I love it while it's happening, right? I love getting Jeremy Chinn on a one-year deal. He's a priority re-sign for me. He's a part of the core of this team moving forward. And then some of the other one-year deals. Alamide Zaccheaus. Huge. Who would have thought that you would have got that level of production from him? Shout out to the Pro Scouts, who may have already been here in place, I'm not sure, before Adam Peters and company were brought in here. But when you look at Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, like realistically speaking, I remember being right here in this very seat across from Chris Russell the day that Zach Ertz was signed. I clowned the signing immediately. I didn't think he would have any type of impact. I had serious reservations about whether he'd make the final 53. As I sit here on February the 20th, couple of weeks removed from the end of the season, Zach Ertz was arguably your second or third most important offensive piece last year. This offense does not have the success that it has on third down in the red zone without the production of Zach Ertz. It just doesn't happen. So my question is, can you replicate that success? How likely is it that Adam Peters and this Washington Commanders front office can replicate last year's success? 301-230-0980 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take your calls on how likely is it that Adam Peters and company can replicate last year's offensive success. I'll also get deep into the weeds and start judging this Commanders draft class after year one. I mentioned there were a couple of hits, but as we get geared up for year two, the jury very much still out on some key draft picks. Your call's coming up next here on the Team 980. Phone lines are open at 301-230-0980. Getting hot and heavy into this Washington Commanders offseason, the most pivotal Commanders offseason of this rebuild. It's the youngest in charge, Lanelle Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock as I sit in for our guy Craig Hoffman. He's back with you coming up on Monday. I'm with you the next 2 days. Programming note tomorrow, make sure you're joining us out at Cap One Arena. We're live on location. We'll be posted up on the concourse, getting you ready for Bucks and Wizards, their first game out of the All-Star break. We'll talk a little bit of Wizards coming up later on in the show and tomorrow as well. But right now, want to continue our conversations around the Washington Commanders. How likely is it that Adam Peters and company can replicate last year's offseason success? This, to me, was one of the more unprecedented free agent classes we've seen in a long time in terms of the amount of guys that they got to contribute and outkick their coverage, quite frankly, on a one-year deal. Doesn't happen like that across the National Football League. You look at the draft. I thought the draft, they did a really good job. Your first three picks, or three of your first four picks, Brandon Coleman in round three, Mikey Sainristil still in round two, and Jaden Daniels, obviously, in the first round, those are foundational culture-setting types of pieces. How often do front offices traditionally hit on those guys? It's one thing to hit on them, right? and then they're a fringe starter for you. They're a depth piece. These are guys that are going to be franchise cornerstones for you for the foreseeable future. How often is it that you see front offices hit at that success rate with those three picks? We know here locally, before Mikey Samuels, so when's the last time we got a second-round pick that gave us legitimate quality production? It's been a very long time. So I asked this question at 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. How likely is it that you're able to replicate last year's offseason success? I mentioned the draft picks. Free agency to me is where I really continue to hit. Free agency for me is really where I continue to hit. Is that the amount of guys you were able to hit on last year, right? Will that number have to be as high this year? I think so, because of the state that your roster is currently in. 301-230-0980. I feel like the other thing that we don't maybe look at enough with last year, we look at all the good that happened, right? I think it was a tremendous offseason overall. But there were some misses, right? Your best draft pick, non-quarterback, I would say, like I said, Mikey Samuels still, Brandon Coleman. But for some of the other guys, you wonder how much of a contributor they may be moving forward. Johnny Newton and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, two guys to me that I can forecast taking a realistic jump forward in year number two. The other guys that I look at, in terms of like the jury's still out, we're still kind of teetering towards being a bust, if I'm being real, Luke McCaffrey and Ben Sinnott. And it was a really good conversation that was had earlier today between Logan Paulson and John Kime on the John Kime Report. And Logan pretty much spilled the beans saying, hey, the reason Ben Sinnott was not a contributor is he had a difficult time handling the NFL from the neck up. Meaning, from a X's and O's standpoint, there were some lapses with Luke McCaffrey, or with Ben Sinnott. How likely is it that he overcomes that? 301-230-0980 is the number. How likely is it that Adam Peters in this front office can replicate last season's offensive success or offseason success? Brian is in Alexandria. What's going on, B?
Hey, what's happening, Dale? So I think the odds are in Peters' favor to do so, because I think this go-around, his approach will be more informed. And what I mean by that is, if you think about it, last year was new to him, and he was trying to build something that hadn't been built before here, and he could only really go off of, I'm assuming, like film. This time, of course, he'll be going off of film, but now he and Quinn and the assistant coaches and the scouts, they have a whole regular season of real-time feedback. So, like, their homework started last year in January or February, whenever they were hired. The homework for this offseason started as early as then too, but let's say as late as when this season kicked off. So they had 19 games to sit down and see what works, what doesn't work, and now their approach will be more informed relative than last year's approach. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, I appreciate you as always, brother, man. 301-230-0980. I get the point that he tried to make there. This is different, which is why I said what I said a moment ago. I think the way that they view themselves internally, that to me is going to influence the decision-making of this front office. Because that's the big thing here. There are tough decisions. Like I keep saying, I'm going to sound like a broken record. There are tough decisions that got to be made. You can't please everyone. And as I sit here, a couple of days away from the combine, three weeks away from the start of free agency, you just got to wonder a little bit. Did we set our expectations maybe too high last year? Because look, I'm as excited as the next man about what is next for this organization, what is next for this regime. But, like, let's be real. In year one, you very clearly outkicked your coverage. As fun as it is being in the NFC Championship game, It's super difficult to replicate that. And I'm not saying it's not possible. I just wonder, are we looking at it with the glass half full instead of the other way, which is realistic in my opinion? 301-230-0980. I mentioned, even from the first round pick standpoint, and I'm going to correct myself here, the first draft for Adam Peters and company in San Francisco was 2017. His first draft here was Jayden Daniels. It was a slam dunk home run. Easy. They had two first-round picks in 2017. They drafted Solomon Thomas, third overall out of Stanford, and Reuben Foster, 31st overall out of Alabama. Two guys that ended up not being foundational pieces for them. Now, Reuben Foster obviously had the knee injury that has really jeopardized his career to this point, but you're judged based off of the way your guys perform. Mike McGlinchey, a guy that should have been a foundational piece for them. Realistically speaking, they didn't re-sign him off of his rookie contract. He's now in Denver. So my question is, are they going to be able to replicate the draft success? Will we see what we saw in San Francisco done here? 301-230-0980 is the number. Hasma wants to tap in. What's going on, Hasma?
Hello?
What's going on, brother?
Hamza. Hey, how you doing? It's Hamza, by the way.
Hamza.
It's all good. Can they replicate it, brother? No. Because what y'all did with the Commanders the last year is a once in a lifetime feat with getting somebody on JD5's level. To replicate it, no. But what y'all can do is I would protect them. Like, I would just go safe and get some offensive linemen, protect them, and maybe get some wide receiver, in free agency. But, like, I used to be a Dallas fan, but I like the Commanders. You know what
I'm saying?
You used to be a Dallas fan.
Yeah, don't just brush by that like it's common practice. What the hell you mean you used to be a Cowboys fan?
I'm getting back into sports, but I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'm gonna fire you if you take a knee type ish.
Hamza, is that you're, and I agree with this, the morals of the National Football League don't align with yours.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I like the Commanders and what they're doing, and to change the name and all that, and that's cool.
I hear you. We appreciate the call as always, brother. 301-230-0980. I feel like as we continue to move throughout this offseason, we're going to learn exactly who Adam Peters in this front office is. Because right now, to me, and do not take this negatively, to me the jury's still out. Because I could have drafted Jayden Daniels. I knew watching college tape and watching college football throughout the year that Mikey Sainristil still had the chance to be a special player. The question is, can they bounce back? Can they replicate last year's offseason success? 301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Hoffman Show. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for our guy Craig Hoffman. He's back with you on Monday. Me, you, and the Ant-Man the next 2 days. Tomorrow, we're live out on location out of Capital One Arena to check out the Wizards as they play their first game fresh out of the All-Star break. So make sure if you're headed to the game tomorrow, and all of you should be going to the game tomorrow, make sure you stop by Section 106 and see your boy out there, man. Me and you. I'm always excited when I get the chance to go out to Capital One Arena and watch this group, because you never know who you're going to run into, especially now that we're before the All-Star break, when rumors were beginning to swirl and we were not knowing who was going to be traded, who would be traded. You would see all types of different national reporters out there. So I always love going out to Cap One Arena. That is tomorrow right here on the Team 980. Right now, want to continue to take a look ahead at this Washington Commanders offseason by taking a look back at last year's offseason. How likely is it that Adam Peters in this front office can replicate last year's offseason success? What do I mean by that? You knocked your first round pick out of the park with Jaden Daniels. You found a culture setter, a foundational piece in rounds 2 and 3 with Mikey Sainristil and Brandon Coleman. You got a good rotational edge piece that contributed in year 1 in round number 7 with Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Your free agent class, one of the best ones in the 2000s in terms of the amount of guys that they hit on and then the amount of guys that ended up contributing to this team's 12-win success. With that being the context of this, how likely is it that Adam Peters and this front office replicate last year's offseason success? Real quick, to me, before we get into signing free agents, we got to worry about our own guys. And I think about old Terry McLaurin. What type of deal is Terry McLaurin going to get this offseason? Will they have enough foresight to get a Terry McLaurin extension done this offseason? Terrell's in BMO. What's going on? Terrell.
Hello?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, my bad. Listen, it got dark at that moment. Listen, I think they'll take care of Terry. I trust this new regime here. But first off, what you said before, like, did you come on Craig's show and do something that he hates talking about? I could have drafted Jaden Daniels. I could have gotten Sarasdale. I mean, I think people who are smart.
For sure.
But somebody went to Chicago and thought that with Caleb. And you know what I mean? And the jury's still out. But, you know, as far as is it likely, I think it's possible. I don't know if it's probable. Or maybe it's the other way around. It's probable but not possible. That's what I meant. You know, because, listen, what they did with rehauling this whole team in free agency and striking rich with new coaches, new free agents, great draft. If that happened all the time, then we would see this all the time. It was more the exception than the norm. You know what I mean?
So, for sure.
Like, to see it happen again, I don't know about that. This league has been going for years, and there has been changeover with coaches and GMs all the time. And if that was possible, it would be something that we see all the time. So I think it's likely. It could happen. It's possible, but not probable. And last thing with the draft, at the end of the day, if Ben Sinnott and Luke are the only ones out of that draft that don't really become starters and consistent pieces, that's a great draft. It really is. And I think they can do that again. Because, I mean, if Ben's issues are really just mental, maybe they can develop him. You know what I mean? Not everybody's going to be first-year starters and be stars out of that first year. But maybe that second and third year, they become pieces that you can, you know, put in and out in the game all the time. And that's a success. Luke, I think we took, you know, a risk out on a former quarterback becoming a wide receiver to see what he could provide. But I don't think anybody thought he would become, like, wide receiver two.
For sure.
You know, so I'll let you –
Good call, Terrell. I appreciate you as always. I'll respond to the Ben Sinnott, Luke McCaffrey thing here real quick. When you select a player in rounds 1 through 3, they are supposed to be guys that develop into starters. In first round picks, they're most likely supposed to be day one starters. So, yeah, my eyebrow is raised when you think about Ben Sinnott, specifically with Sinnott and McCaffrey. Like, from McCaffrey's standpoint, think about the revolving door that existed at wide receiver two. How far behind, must Luke be that he couldn't see the field last year? Are we really banking on him taking a massive step forward this year? I think it's a risk. Ben Sinnott. I was reading a piece on ESPN.com from John Keim a day after the draft was complete. You know what Ben Sinnott's line said? Expected to come in and start right away. That's what John Keim thought. That's what most folks thought with Ben Sinnott. And I just feel like, and I know it's not fair necessarily to judge a draft pick or come up with a declarative statement about a draft pick after just 1 year. I'm going to call a spade, man. Shawty didn't do anything last year. Luke McCaffrey didn't do anything last year. So how am I supposed to all of a sudden just assume that they're going to take a step forward, man? 301-230-0980. Marcus wants to chime in. What's going on, Marcus?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm good, bro. How you doing?
I'm all right. All right. So this is my whole thing, and I got a slightly different take on this draft situation, right? It's possible for him to run it back, but if he doesn't, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And here's why: drafting is. I'd much rather go through free agency because you get these draft class and maybe top 10, top 15. you know, 80% of the time they turn out to be what these scouts and these front offices have looked at them to be. But more times than not, they don't end up amounting to anything. And, I mean, I'll go as Emmanuel Forbes. He didn't really do anything in college that when they made that pick, it was just like, wow, that was a dumb pick, you know. And really, most guys that get drafted have record-setting seasons. But they get to the league, and they don't turn out to be what everybody thought them to be. And it's because I don't want to slight their accomplishments or diminish their talents, but we got to understand maybe 20% of players on these college rosters are eligible for, you know, eligible for draft, seniors, whether they're rookies or whatever, they're eligible for the draft or they're good enough to go into the draft. But you got to look at that other 80% where you have first year, second year guys, some walk-ons. So the talent level, it really, you can scout as much as you want against, you know, with what they did against other college teams, but
sure,
you never know how they're going to mount out. You know, how
well, for sure, for sure, Marcus, and I get your overarching theme, right? It's like the draft is not a sure thing. I get it 100%. Right. But to me, and I appreciate the call, to me, with specifically the Luke McCaffrey pick, the reason I don't necessarily agree with that pick, my frustration surrounding that pick, to take a gamble, let's just be honest, Luke was a gamble when you consider he is a converted quarterback turned wide receiver. To take that sort of gamble that early in the draft, to me is, yeah, I know a phrase I love to use when I'm slighting front offices, organizational malpractice. But I'm not going to go as far as to say it's organizational malpractice, but like, I didn't like the pick at the time it was made. I didn't agree with it. But now that we're looking at it almost a year removed, the stench is a little bit greater, in my opinion. Taking your calls right now at 301-230-0980 on how likely it is that Adam Peters in this front office can replicate last year's juggernaut of an offseason. That's the best way that I can describe it. They hit on all cylinders from a player acquisition standpoint through free agency, through the draft. And the thing that's most impressive is they left both core pieces of the offseason with foundational tone-setting pieces. How likely is that heading into next year? Mark is in Largo. What's going on, Mark? Mark is in Laurel, excuse me. What's going on, Mark?
Yeah, what's up? I just want to say, I thought this draft, you can't really evaluate a draft really until 4 years. I mean, they had no talent on the team this year. They had no playmakers. Nobody, no playmakers on the defensive side, no playmakers on the offense side. I mean, you look at that team talent-wise, I mean, this team barely beat the Saints. I mean, they lost to the Cowboys twice. They could have easily lost to the Giants twice. So from the talent point, they had no talent on the team. The ball just fell their way. Other than that, like I said, we really can't tell. I mean, they got nobody on the team. They got so many holes. It's no way possible they're going to replicate the success last year. They had a better schedule. They had an easier schedule. And they still lost to most of
I'm not talking about the regular season, though. I'm talking about the offseason success.
I'm talking about the talent.
You don't get to 12.
They had no talent on the team.
You don't get to 12 wins.
They had no talent.
You don't get to 12 wins without the offseason.
They had the easiest schedule. That's it.
Mark, the schedule doesn't matter at this point. You don't get to 12 wins without knocking the offseason out of the park the way that they did last year. You were able to leave the draft and free agency with core foundational pieces for your roster moving forward. How likely is that to happen this time around? It's going to be interesting. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll continue to take your calls on that. Plus, we will take a look at what does being aggressive look like this offseason for the Washington Commanders. More of your calls next here on the Team 980.